Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
This morning our scripture lesson comes from the second chapter of Luke, verses 8 through 18. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The word of God for the people of God.
If you've not been able to pick up on it yet or not, today's service is built around shepherds and angels. And Bev and I decided that we would tag team on this message and that I would take shepherds, and she'll be up in a minute to tell you a word about angels. And so, did you ever wonder why God chose to be the first people to receive the message that Jesus was born, to send that to shepherds? Now, there are some plausible reasons, as we can determine from the Bible. Let me begin by just mentioning a couple of those. First of all, the Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he would be a ruler like David. And so sometimes in the Gospels, Jesus is even referred to as Son of David. Well, if that's correct, we know for a fact that David spent his early childhood years as a shepherd, a pretty good shepherd. He protected his sheep. He was pretty good with a slingshot, too. Take that, Goliath. So the idea that shepherds would receive this announcement of the coming of the Messiah is not unthinkable. Another possible reason is that scholars believe that in the hillside around Bethlehem, those particular flocks were the designated flocks that would supply the morning and evening offering of a lamb for the temple. Some people have supposed that what if the shepherds who were responsible for the daily offering in the temple would be the first one to hear the news of the Lamb of God, Jesus, who would take away the sins of the world? It's possible. Thirdly, maybe God knew that Jesus would say, "I am the good shepherd." That Jesus would lay down his life for the sheep, us. And therefore the idea of, again, tying the first group to receive the news of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. Well, I like all of those plausibilities, but I want to offer you another suggestion. And I will tell you right now before I begin that I believe this one is the most likely. Did you know that in Jesus' day, shepherds were at the bottom of the rung of the Palestinian social ladder? They shared the same status as tax collectors and dung sweepers. And if you don't know what a dung sweeper is, you can Google that. In Genesis chapter 46, 34, the verse says, this was during the period of time when Israel was being held captive in Egypt, that every shepherd is detestable to the Egyptians. Now, even though somewhere around the year 1000, the height and level of shepherds went up because of King David, nonetheless, over the years, the social status of shepherds continually went down. The Mishnah, which is the written record of oral law by the Jewish people, reflects the prejudice that referred to shepherds as it belittled them. One passage describes shepherds as incompetent, and another says that no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. Jeremias, a very well-known scholar, has said this. It is recorded in the Mishnah that to buy wool, milk, or even a baby lamb from a shepherd was forbidden by Jews because the assumption was that lamb or that kid or that wool would be stolen property. Shepherds were officially labeled as sinners, a technical term for the class of the despised. It is into this social context of religious snobbery and class prejudice that God's Son stepped forth. How surprising and significant that our Father handpicked lowly, unpretentious shepherds to be the first to hear the good news. So why did God announce to the shepherds? Because they were the marginalized of their day. If you look up the word marginalized in the dictionary, it will say persons or groups of persons who have been deemed insignificant. Have you ever had a moment in your life that you felt that way? In your family, in your school, in your work? That you were just insignificant. If you were a student of the Disciple Bible Study when it started 20-some years ago in the United Methodist tradition, you know that in Luke's Gospel, it's titled, The Gospel to the Least, the Last, and the Lost. Bishop William Boyd Grove, bishop who ordained me, got into a pretty heated battle with the Charleston Gazette many years ago when he was bishop. Because he took sides between the coal company and the coal operators. It made several editorials in the Charleston Daily Mail. And I'll never forget what Bishop Grove said, not just in one letter he wrote, but in a second one as well. When he was criticized for having taken the sides of the miners in this very contentious battle, Bishop Grove said, as I read the gospel, I see that Jesus always took the side of those who were vulnerable and those who have been marginalized and those who have been abused. And he said, in my perception, I perceive that this group of people fit that category. So I close by telling you this. One Sunday morning, 25 years ago, I showed up at my little church in Deepwater, West Virginia. And there sitting on the steps of the church was this ragged old little man. I didn't know who he was. I was there a little bit early to unlock the door. And as I walked up the steps, I said, sir, can I help you? And I discovered he couldn't talk very well. And I discovered he shook a lot, that he had Parkinson's disease. And his brother Thurman, who lived on the railroad tracks down a little ways in a little shack, literally a shack, had kicked him out. And I said, Ralph, come on into church. I called him Mr. Miller. Come on into church and we'll see what we can do. But I have to tell you honestly that I said to myself in that moment, God, I don't have time for this fellow. I've got services today here, and then I've got to go to another service. God, I don't have time for this. What I didn't realize was God was telling me what I had time for and what I needed to make time for. Has that ever happened to you? You see, my friends, the message of Christmas is that God cares about those folks sometimes that are out on the fringes. Those people that are struggling to get by, those people who have been kicked out of their homes. God cares about those people. He cares enough to make them the first people he wants to hear the good news. That's the real beauty of the shepherds today. Oh, and by the way, I'll tell you more about Mr. Miller in the weeks ahead, but I'll just let you in on this little tidbit. I learned a lot from Ralph. A lot. And so in 1985, 4 years later, when I stood and was privileged enough to marry this beautiful woman right here, out on the end, the eighth or ninth or tenth guy out on the end was Ralph, one of the groomsmen. He taught me a lot. I know he's looking over the balcony today. God doesn't close people out. Never forget that. The people you think are the least significant might just be, in God's eye, the most significant. Bev?
So Reverend Tim shared with us about shepherds, and I get to share with you about angels, which delights me because I don't think we talk about angels enough. We sort of dismiss the idea these days of angels, but they are real, and they are present, and they are around us even here. So here's a question to discuss with your friend or neighbor beside you in the pew. There are only two angels that were given names in the Bible. See if you can discover what the two named angels were. Okay, what'd you come up with? Give me one name. Yes. Give me one more. You guys are deep angel theologians. I like it. I love talking about angels, and as I started getting the opportunity this week to really look into it and see what the Bible has to say about angels, I noticed that everything that I could find about angels started with a P. And so we're going to tell you four P's about angels. So the first one is actually a not P. It's that the angels are not people. You know, when you pass away and go on to glory, you will not be an angel. Anyone that you have loved and cherished that have already gone on to be with Jesus, they did not become an angel. God has already created angels. In fact, in Nehemiah chapter 9, he tells us, "You are the Lord. You alone. You made heaven. You made the heaven of heavens with all their hosts." Host, of course, is a word for angels. So see, our God created angels back when he created the earth. And they don't exist exactly the same way that you and I do. The writer of Hebrews tells us they don't have bodies like you and me, that they're more like spirit. So no one ever gains their angel's wings. Have people said that to you before? Oh, he died. He has gained his angel wings. Or they say to us sometimes that your loved one has become an angel, or that God has taken your loved one because he needed him or her more. None of that is true. And I'm glad it's not true. Like many of you women in here, Rudy and I lost our first baby. And when we lost our first baby, I was actually a minister at the time, and I knew I had Sunday church coming up just a few days after. And I debated whether to show up or not, like, you know, let someone cover the pulpit. But I decided just jump in and go for it. And lots of well-meaning, loving believers, parishioners, said to me things like, "Well, now your little one has become an angel." You know, isn't that comforting to folks? that our little ones have become angels. The truth is, when I get to heaven, Rudy and I will get to meet our little one, and we'll get to pick him up, and we'll get to hold him, and we'll get to know him. He is not an angel. Number two, angels were created for praise. In that verse I read earlier from Nehemiah chapter 9, it goes on to say this. After it says, you are the Lord, that you created all the host of heaven, it says, and the host of heaven, the angels of heaven, worship you. That's what they were created to do. You know that song that says, holy, 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 what are the next three words? God Almighty. That is an angel song. That's the angels singing and saying, Lord, you are the God Almighty. And in the second verse of that hymn, if you were to look it up, it says, seraphim and cherubim, which are two types of angels, falling down before you. Angels were purposed from God for praise. And their greatest joy, the thing that makes them most excited, is to be in the presence of God. But there's another P. Angels also proclaim news to people. They're proclaimers. They tell us things that we need to hear. Even still today, angels, it says in the Bible, can take on bodily human form and appear to people. They can tell us what we need to hear, what we need to know, and what we need to experience. Which sort of reminds me of one of my favorite parishioners back in North Carolina. Her name is Patricia Massey. And Patricia had fought cancer two or three times. So by the time I got to be her pastor, I believe she was in her third episode. And we knew as time was going on that she was not going to make it through this one. But yet she was such a lover of Jesus and always so full of joy. I spent a lot of time with her at her house, and I would leave refreshed. I would leave encouraged from being with her. One day as she started getting toward the end of her life, she showed me up on top of the hill behind her house that she had buried her daughter who was 2 years old. She said, every day I go and visit my little girl. She goes, and I want to tell you what happened to me when my little girl died. She goes, I was driving my husband's pickup truck, and it kind of spun out of control, and we fell into a very deep ravine. We flipped. We could not get out. I lived. My daughter died. She said, I went hysterical. Couldn't get out of the ditch. Couldn't believe what had just happened. Felt totally responsible for what had happened. And she just began screaming. And some gentleman came walking down the ravine, sort of scooped her up and held her, and he said this to her, you will not blame yourself for this, and you will find peace. When the first responders got there to help her out of the ditch, she asked, where's that man that came and held me and told me not to blame myself? They said, we don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, he was here. They didn't see a car. There were no tire tracks. Nothing to say that a man had been there to speak words of love. She promises me that it was an angel. You know, I wonder how many times in your life story or in my life story has an angel appeared to help guide us, to help encourage us, to help do this final thing that angels do, and that is, it also starts with a P. Angels are to protect us. Here's what it says in Psalm 91, verse 11. He will give angels charge over you and guard you in all your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. See, angels are not omnipresent. It doesn't mean that they can be everywhere at all time like God. Angels are finite creatures, and they're limited to one place for one time. But they are around us. They are present, and they're used as God's messengers. So here's my challenge as we close. I would love for you to spend some time with your family today over a meal or when you're just at the home and share an angel story. I bet you all of us can share a time when you can't explain it, but you were protected, or you were given some good news in your spirit when you shouldn't have been receiving good news. Some story of when someone protected or cared about you. And see what stories might be able to be swapped and shared about the idea that angels are still all around us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the gift of your story through shepherds, through your angels. May our spirits be sensitive enough to be aware that there are angels around us, busy protecting and sending us messages of love and good news from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.